And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be talking about more secrets, and boy, we've got them for you. Hey, Patrick Buchanan put out an article on WorldNet Daily, actually a column. He said conservatism is a Tower of Babel. Well, a lot of us out here like to think that we're conservatives. What does he mean? Conservatism is a Tower of Babel. Hey, those fires in California, incredible, huh? What we should have known it was going to happen, fires. Well, of course, global warming. They caused it, didn't they? All those fires are because of global warming. Senate committee says so. That's why we're having the fires in California. Sounds like a bunch of baloney to me, but we'll discuss that. Hey, do you believe everything you're told about the Holocaust, exactly how it happened? What they say happened to 6 million Jews in the concentration camps? Seems like a slam dunk, but some people are beginning to doubt it. And, you know, whatever your view is, you better watch out, because if you don't accept, if you say there were just 5,999,999 victims, well, don't visit countries like Austria and Germany and France. You could be arrested and you could be put away in prison for 5, 7, 15, 40 years just for saying maybe 5 million died rather than 6 million. The Jews have got those countries and they want America to have a new hate crimes law. So if you even doubt anything at all of the official version of history, well, you'll be history. They'll put you behind bars for your opinion. At one time, America had something called the First Amendment, freedom of speech, but we're throwing that out the window. Hey, I've got a lot more for you today because we're going to be looking at some things that, well, a lot of people just don't want you to know. Hey, new attorney general named Mukasey. Seems like he doesn't have an opinion on torture. Well, we'll try to figure out what that means. And then U.S. billionaire Warren Buffett said, quote, I should pay more taxes. That's right. Warren Buffett said people like him and maybe you and me, we need to pay more in taxes. I want to give you my opinion of that. But it's an interesting thought, isn't it? Well, a top Department of Defense official was found dead. They say he committed suicide, but some people think there's more to it than that. Have you ever heard of the Knights Templar? Way back hundreds of years ago, they were like the predecessors of the modern Freemasons. In 1314, their Grand Master, Mr. Jacques de Molay, was burned at the stake. What did he do that, you know, that such a harsh punishment was meted out to him? And why is it the Vatican is about to exonerate the Grand Master? The Vatican is going to reach way back in history and exonerate the Grand Master and the Knights Templar. What's that all about? Well, let's start right away with our secrets. First of all, I want to thank some good friends who've written to me. Let's make sure I've got... Dr. Virgil Thomas wrote to me from the Pantheon Sanctuary, wrote to me. And says that a lot of people ask him, why is it? Now, he knows the answer, but he thinks maybe our audience may not know it. He said, some say God's will be done and they have no concern about the future. You try to warn them about events about the New World Order, about the world conspiracy, about Satan's works on earth, and they say, I don't care about that. It doesn't matter. God's will be done. Why should I worry about it? Why should I worry about prophecy? Why should I worry about what's going to happen? Well, Dr. Thomas is not asking you to worry about anything, but should you be aware of it? I never say in this ministry, oh, let's all fret and, oh, let's wring our hands and our wrists and, oh, we're so worried. Oh, let's lose sleep tonight. It's going to be so bad and gloomy and dark. Now, you know, Tex Mars has never done that. I sleep good at night. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I know where I'm going and who I'm going to be with for eternity. I don't lose any sleep over it. But I'm no dummy. I know what's going to happen in the world, too, before we get to heaven. And if you don't understand the things of the last days, well, you've got a real problem. And if you say, I don't need to understand these things, I'll just depend on God. Now, that sounds so holy and sanctimonious, but it's not holy at all. Because Daniel 12, verse 10 says that the wise in the last days shall understand. So if you run around saying, I don't understand and I don't care, well, you're just a dunce, a spiritual dunce, and God doesn't have any respect for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't either. I'm just a mean old man, I guess. But I don't respect you at all. Well, I just don't care about Bible prophecy. It doesn't really matter. God's going to do what he's going to do. Uh-huh. I'll tell you what. Do you want a home? Do you want a car? Do you have a bank account? Well, I think I'll just go and take them from you. You know, it doesn't matter. It's God's will for your life. Go live out on the street. Pitch you a tent. Starve to death. Let your family die of malnutrition. It's God's will. Or is it? You know, there's some things, friends, that we say are God's will, but they're not his will. He put us here to occupy till he comes. And a good question from Dr. Virgil Thomas. God's will be done. Yes, absolutely. But sometimes he uses human instruments for it. You know, if God wants a person to be saved, he'll be saved. I'm not going to witness to him. Really? Maybe God has called you to witness to that person. Maybe you should witness to the person. Now, if you don't do it, God will call somebody else. I mean, after all, you'll remember the Bible. We're told that God can take stones or rocks and make disciples of them. So if you don't do it, lumphead, God will go choose somebody else and you'll lose a blessing. A big blessing. And it might even be that that person's blood will be on your hands. Maybe they won't get saved. Maybe God called you to witness to them or to tell them the truth or to warn them about a certain thing, but you would not do it. So they go to hell. Maybe that was God's will for their life. So why don't you just say, well, that's just wonderful. They're going to hell. Well, how nice. God's will. Really? You know, most of the time, I remember talking to a pastor from Atlanta, Georgia, and I asked him what he thought about the pro-life movement. He said, oh, I just don't believe in marching and demonstrating. I said, well, do you ever preach about it? No, I don't want to get the people all fired up about that. I just don't want to touch the abortion issue. God will do what he has to do, and if he wants to stop abortion, he'll stop it. I bet on payday, he got a check, went down and cashed it. He didn't say, well, if God wants me to cash it, it'll be cashed. I don't need to cash it. You know, he was first in line down at the bank. When his car was about to run out of gas, he didn't say, well, if God wants this car gassed up, he'll gas it and just drive right on down the freeway. No, he didn't do that. He took care of it. What hypocrites. Hypocrites. You know what it really was? The pastor was lazy. And there might be a few members of his church that believed in abortion, thought it was a good thing. He didn't want to come up against them. He was a coward. That's really the truth of it all. Don't worry, be happy. If God wants it, he'll take care of it. He will indeed, and he'll take care of your wagon too, you slothful coward. He'll take care of you too. Watch out. that you think you stand and you fall. And that is the truth about that matter. Hey, got a letter from a lady on the other hand who is just the opposite. She's an activist, and I like activists. I do. Now, some people can't go around doing activist things. You know, they don't even have the good health to do it. But you can always pray. A lot of people write to me, text, how can I help your ministry? Well, pray. Well, what else can I do? Well, they just dismiss prayer. It's almost like, well, yeah, I know I can do that, but what else? Well, I've always believed that prayer is the best thing a person can do for this ministry. And to have faith that God will deliver us from those who wish to destroy this ministry. I was listening to a wonderful old gospel song today on my way to work. Jake Hess was a great gospel singer. He died just a couple of years ago. Wonderful gospel singer. Had a song. It's just a short little song, but I like it. And actually, I played it all the way here. You know, the song, it takes me about 30 minutes to get to work, 40 minutes. And the song's only about a minute long, so I must have played it 20 straight times. Have you ever done that? You know, I'm glad nobody else is in the car with me. They'd probably find it very boring. But if I get a good song I like, I just play it over and over, you know, on my CD or tape. And this was a good one. And, you know, one of the lines in it is wonderful. It says that prayer is the key to heaven, but it's faith that unlocks the door. Yeah, that's right. You can have access to heaven if you pray, but the door won't open unless you have faith. I like that. Prayer is the key to heaven, but you got to have faith to open the door. I guess the door is pretty heavy. But faith just opens it right up. It's like one of those automatic door openers at the mall, you know, or the grocery store. Just opens right up with faith. And why shouldn't we have faith? God is a good God. He does miracles every day. His Bible is full of miracles that he's done. Why shouldn't we believe in him? Well, Nancy Major wrote to me. She says, "Dear Tex, once again, I want to express my appreciation for all you do. In two of your recent shows, you referred to the persecution in Philadelphia, and you said we were out protesting abortion. But actually, we were preaching the gospel at the Philly Pride Outfest, just for your information. Exceeding abundant blessings on you and yours." You know, Nancy, you're right. They were preaching the gospel. They weren't even complaining about abortion. And they got arrested for preaching the gospel on the streets of Philadelphia. Persecuted. Turns out the DA was a Jewish person, and the Jewish ADL want them arrested. They don't even want you to preach on the street corners anymore. You're right, Nancy. I thank you for that correction. And so I've mentioned it three times, Nancy, because I appreciate what you and your group and so many are doing. Hey, we have a new attorney general, or we will have one. Mr. Gonzalez is gone. You know, he retired or resigned or whatever. He should be in prison. And maybe even be tortured, you know, if you believe in an eye for an eye, which actually I don't always believe in. But Mr. Mukasey is a Jewish lawyer who's been nominated by George W. Bush to be the new attorney general. So we're going to go from a Mexican to a Jew. Hey, what's new? The Secretary of Treasury is a Jew. The new chief of staff of the Oval Office is a Jew. Basically, Jews run George W. Bush. And he and Cheney do whatever they tell him to do. Bush is not an independent president. If you thought he was, well, you got another thing coming. Now, Mukasey has been testifying before Congress after being nominated as attorney general. And he said he really doesn't have an opinion on torture, like, you know, waterboarding. "I really don't know if that's torture or not," he says. Wow. He really just doesn't know whether that's torture or not. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Mukasey.
I'm not advocating it, but...
Let a couple of thugs off the street and let them take you behind a gloomy old house some dark, hot night. And let's give you about 30 minutes of waterboarding. Now, at the end of that, you just tell me whether that's torture or not. And I'm not going to listen to you while you scream and holler in agony. And they put a hose down your throat until you're almost drowned and you're hollering and screaming and moaning. You see, I haven't made up my mind, Mr. Mukasey, whether that waterboarding is really torture. So while they're doing it to you, well, I'm going to keep an open mind on it. Yeah, Bush says the United States does not torture. Well, George, I'll tell you what. Let's do what they did at Abu Ghraib to you. You and Dick. Volunteer for about 15 minutes of untorture. Yeah, what the CIA and some of the special forces and the Israeli Mossad spy people, what they're doing to people around the world at American concentration camps. Let's give you about 15-minute workout of the untorture. And at the end of it, let me know whether you think it's torture or just your typical old interrogation technique. You know, somebody recently sent me a transcript of the 1906 State of the Union address of President Theodore Roosevelt, the old Rough Rider, Teddy Roosevelt. He talked about torture. Should American troops get involved in torturing the enemy? Here's what he said. Quote, "No man can take part in the torture of a human being without having his own moral nature permanently lowered." No man can take part in the torture of a human being without having his own moral nature permanently lowered. Friends, our humanity has been compromised by the Bush people, by what we've done to others. You may say, well, they're potential terrorists, or they may have information. Well, that's been true throughout history. I'm sure during the American Revolution, the British took prisoners of Americans, and we took prisoners of the British. Can you imagine us torturing them? In every war, we've had prisoners of war, the enemy. But now we have a president who said it's okay to do these things. And then he wants to use Big Brother Orwellian doublespeak and doesn't even admit that it's torture. But you know, I know. We're fast becoming a Stalinist-Leninist society. The Bush administration has a lot to answer for. But they're not going to have to answer for it here in America. But someday, there will be a payday. Well, billionaire Warren Buffett. A lot of people say, how did he get to be one of the richest men in the world? I think it's called a friend. A friend in need is a friend indeed. And Lord Jacob Rothschild is a big friend of Warren Buffett's. The Rothschilds have bankrolled Warren Buffett. Mr. Buffett lives up in Omaha, Nebraska. And if you want to find out what goes on among the elite of Omaha, Nebraska, order the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, by Mr. DeCamp that we offer in this ministry. Satanic pedophilia. Secret societies. Bankers corrupt. And, of course, there's Warren Buffett. Is he part of that? Perhaps. You'll remember that on 9/11, George Bush was flying around on Air Force One. And instead of landing there in Washington, D.C., he landed at Offutt Air Force Base, Omaha, Nebraska. They say he was squirreled away way deep down inside the ground. I wonder if Warren Buffett was there. I wonder if all of the Satanists of Omaha, Nebraska were there. I wonder if they were giving thanks to their God, the horned God. I don't have any proof that Warren Buffett was there, but I don't doubt it. Now, Mr. Buffett recently gave billions of dollars of his own money. They say he's one of the stingiest men in the world. Everybody was surprised that suddenly he gave billions and billions of dollars to a foundation for charity. But you got to watch out. What charity was it? It was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, Mr. Bill Gates is a Jew, a Zionist, just as Mr. Buffett is. And they're spending their money mainly on population control. In other words, how to abort all those babies out there and reduce the population of planet Earth. So that was what Mr. Buffett was all about. In fact, in the book Franklin Cover-Up, the author DeCamp talks about how Mr. Buffett has been a benefactor of such groups as Zero Population Growth and Planned Parenthood for decades. Those are the only groups practically he gives to. You get the picture? Well, of course, they want to raise our taxes. And Hillary is going to be president of the United States. You know it. I know it. Hillary Rodham Clinton. And boy, talk about a tax raiser in the kingdom. She's going to raise your taxes and my taxes because we're headed toward a socialist, communist United States of America. But we should pay more taxes, says U.S. billionaire Warren Buffett. And he said, well, I believe I'm undertaxed. I was thinking about this. He's the United States' second richest man, and he's delivered a blunt message to the Bush administration and to American citizens that he wants to pay more taxes. Now, the Sage of Omaha, as he's been called, has complained that he pays a lower rate of tax than even his staff, including his receptionist. Think about that. Here's a billionaire, the second richest man in the United States, saying, I should be taxed more. Why? The receptionist in my office pays more proportionate taxes than I do. Now, I'm confused. If he wants to pay more taxes, what's to stop the man? Instead of giving billions of dollars to the Gates Foundation, why doesn't he give it to the federal government? Nothing stops you from paying more taxes. I've heard this from a lot of the rich. I wouldn't mind paying more taxes, but they never do. And sort of like a friend of mine was talking about a third friend. Let's just call him Tony. He said, Tex, Tony wants to borrow $1,000 from me. Do you think I should lend it to him? I said, well, what do you think? He says, well, you know, Tony always needs money. He's not a good manager of his money. I said, yeah. He never has any money. I said, yeah. He's always borrowing. I said, uh-huh. But, you know, Tony's a good guy. Why? If he had it, he would give you the shirt off of his back. So I said, well, does Tony have it? Well, no. Has he ever had it? Well, no. Will he ever have it? No. Well, I'll give you anything, too. Why, if I had the money, I'd give you a Jaguar. I'd give you a Rolls Royce, my friend. Well, I'd give you anything if I had it. If I had the whole world, I'd probably give you at least half of it. It's easy, isn't it, to say I should be taxed more when your bank account shows that you have tens of billions of dollars. Well, nothing prevents you from writing a check this very moment, Mr. Buffett. Sit down, write it out. You're an old man. You're getting about 82 years old. I don't know how much your net worth is, but if it's, you know, $8 billion, write a check for about $7.5 billion to the federal government. You are not going to miss it. You can live through the rest of your life on the other $500 million you have left. What's the beef? Show me the money. Quit your moaning and groaning and give us the money. They say that our military troops over in Iraq don't have the right armor. The Defense Department hadn't bought it. Mr. Buffett, you're an industrialist. Start a factory. Make them the best armor in the world. Put your money where your stupid mouth is. I'm sick and tired. I should be more taxed. My receptionist pays more than me. Then pay your receptionist more money. Sounds to me like she needs money to compensate for the taxes that are taken away. You just sit there and let her suffer by having all this taxes taken out of her pay. Pay the woman what she decently deserves. Pay your staff more. What a faker. What he really is saying is we need a communist society where everyone will pay everything that they own, because the government does you a favor by even allowing you to breathe the air. If you want to pay more tax, I'll repeat it again. Pay it and shut up, Mr. Buffett. And by the way, tell your friend, Mr. Lord Jacob Rothschild, if he would dissolve all of the trust after trust after trust that's tax-free because of all the tax shelters that trusts have, then he might be paying his fair bit too. You know, it's getting just a little sickening, isn't it? The head of Merrill Lynch messed up. The company's now not doing well this calendar year. And I just read in the Wall Street Journal that they're going to fire their CEO. He hasn't done a good job. Our earnings are down. And now they're in the market for a new CEO. They fired him. I don't have any problem with that. Corporations and companies can have, or they can hire and fire whoever they want. But they're giving him a severance pay of $160 million. Isn't this what they do? I mean, the head of Wall Street, the actual New York Stock Exchange several years ago, retired, and he got like $700 million severance pay. So, friends, these people get so much in severance pay that it pays them to be fired. Seems like he'd want to go around messing up every day of the year just so he could get fired. What is all this? The workers are getting very little, but the big shots are getting so much that when they're fired for doing a bad job, they get $160 million severance pay. And then he probably has tax shelters, probably doesn't pay much of that in taxes. Unbelievable. This is the Gilded Age. Debutante parties. Fathers are putting out tens of millions of dollars for their debutante daughter to celebrate while people somewhere in the world are starving. What a world we live in. This is Tex Mars. This is Secrets Volume 130. I'll be right back after this brief message. What a book. The title is Franklin Cover-Up. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, we've been offering this book for quite a while. I recently reread it again, and I'm still shocked. I'm still shocked. Satanic sexual abuse, ritual murders, child pedophile rings, money laundering. Could these horrors really be happening today in middle America? The Franklin Cover-Up. John DeCamp, I've had him on my radio program before. We have an audio tape of my interview, by the way, if you want to have a copy of that for $8. But John DeCamp, attorney, former state senator from Nebraska, wrote this incredible book. It's 412 pages. 412 pages. And it tells a tale that he has newspaper clippings, press releases. This is documented. And you know, it ties in with Boys Town, the Catholic orphanage. They were picking up boys there and flying them by jet to Washington, D.C. to be molested by U.S. congressmen, senators, diplomats. You say that can't be. Oh, yes. It was on the front page of Washington Times newspaper till they covered it up. Politicians, savings and loan, banking executives, Catholic priest, the police chief, the mayor, city councilman, they're all somehow involved, and it goes all the way to the top. How about the name Bush? Was he a pedophile? The senior Bush? Could it be? No, you say. No. Read the Franklin cover-up and decide for yourself. 412 pages, just $15. Now add $4 shipping and handling. $19 postpaid for the book. Franklin, the Franklin, like Benjamin Franklin, Franklin cover-up. Here's how to get your copy. Just call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Use your charge card. $19, that includes the shipping and handling. As for the Franklin cover-up, if you want the interview, the tape that I did, 60-minute audio tape with Senator John DeCamp, we'll be glad to send that to you as well for $8. Now, again, $19 for the book, $8 for the tape, $4 for shipping and handling for the tape as well, and for to cover all of our cost. You'll be amazed at this book. It'll disgust you, it'll revolt you, but it's something you need to know so you can be forewarned these things are true. You know, the Bible talked about the great degradation, how some men would be turned over to a reprobate mind, and they sure have been. The Franklin cover-up. Now, you can write to us and send us your payment of $19 postpaid. Ask for the book, The Franklin Cover-Up. $8 plus $4 shipping and handling for the tape, The Franklin Cover-Up, same title. But make sure you say, I want the tape, the audio tape, or the book. And, of course, you can get both of them as well from us. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now, let's return to our program. We're studying secrets. And by the way, I said volume 130. We've done so many. It's actually volume 136. Don't want to get behind here. It's volume 136. Well, what about global warming? Is it real? Well, a lot of scientists are saying it is. And after all, Al Gore said it. He invented the internet. He should know a lot of things. He's won the Nobel Peace Prize for a video he did. Actually, he just read it. He read the script from the teleprompter, and he gets credit for it. Well, Senator Carl Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, probably has researched global warming more than any other senator in our U.S. Senate. Now, he's the ranking Republican member of the Environmental and Public Works Committee. He delivered a two-hour speech on the floor of the Senate recently, debunking fears of a man-made global warming. And you know, everything he said was absolutely true. And listen to this. He was talking about the Washington Post did a news article about global warming and what children thought of it. And a little girl, 9-year-old Alyssa Luzrucka, remember now, Alyssa, just 9 years old, she was quoted as saying, quote, I worry about global warming because I don't want to die. Kids out there, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 years old, are worrying, I'm going to die. Global warming is going to kill us all. Now, here's the interesting thing. I've done some research myself, friends, and I found that in the 70s, NASA said its computers found a horrible situation developing. By the year 2000, the Earth could freeze up. A great freeze of the Earth could occur. Wow. You know, a lot of people, there were actually books written about the freezing of the Earth. It's going to be like an ice box, a refrigerator. We're all going to freeze to death by the year 2000. I'll never forget, I think it was in the early 80s, there was a book out called The Fate of the Earth by a man named Jonathan Schell. It was a number one New York Times bestseller. And Mr. Schell said, we're all going to be nuked by the year 2000. And then there have been other books that say the environmental catastrophe, pollution is upon us. By the year 2000, there will be no people left on this planet. We're all here. And, you know, the population keeps growing and growing and growing. Now, listen to a little bit of what Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma said on the floor of the Senate. First of all, he says the sky is not falling. Chill out. There is no global warming. And then he said this. He says the actual statistics show something totally different than what even the so-called weather experts are telling you. He says, now listen to this, quote, we have witnessed Antarctic ice grow to record levels since monitoring began in the 1970s. You see, there's an Arctic region, but there's also an Antarctic region. Did you know that? There's a South Pole and a North Pole. And in Antarctica, the ice has been growing. In other words, in one pole of the Earth, it seems like there's been melting going on, but in the other, it's growing. And the net result is we have more ice than we've ever had. They don't tell you that, do they? Maybe the left hand needs to know what the right hand is doing among the weathermen. He also says this, that NASA, our space agency, had a red face recently because they put out a press release that said that 1998 had been the hottest year ever on record. And they said that in the 2000 years coming up, it could get even hotter. But they went back and looked at their statistics, their data, and you know what they found? 1998 was not the hottest year on record. The hottest year was 1934. And it's gotten cooler since then. Let me say it again. The hottest year on record, since they've been keeping a record, is 1934. We now have around 6 billion people on this planet. But in 1934, there was around 3 billion. There was only half the amount of people. And how much industry did we have in 1934? Friends, it had only been a couple of decades since we had the automobile and the airplane invented. 1934. That was before World War II. All those bombs unleashed. The nuclear bomb at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Surely there's more global warming today. That was before there was any air conditioning. And remember, Freon is the big bugaboo. We've got to stop Freon. Why? Oh, the ozone layer, there's holes in it. And by the way, remember Al Gore warned about the holes in the ozone caused by fluorocarbons from air conditioning? Guess what? They suddenly closed up. Nobody talks about ozone layers anymore because the holes closed up by themselves. I remember back in the 1970s, I read an article in Reader's Digest. It just worried me to death. It said, you know what? People are starving in Africa. And the Sahara Desert is growing by, I think it was like 38 feet a year. By the year 2050, the Sahara Desert will take over all of Africa. Every year, the Sahara Desert was growing. All the wildlife would be lost. All the rivers, the great waterfalls of Africa would be lost. And people would be so thirsty, they would die. Great droughts would come. And that was in Reader's Digest. The Sahara Desert is growing by 38 feet a year. And you know, I hadn't heard much more about it until about 10 years ago. And I read just a little bitty item in Science News. And this article was sort of interesting. It said, Sahara Desert continues to recede. Now that was a headline that caught my attention. I read it. And it said, since 1981, the Sahara Desert has receded. For about 20 years before that, every year it had grown. But suddenly, unexpectedly, the Sahara Desert began to diminish. If the present trend keeps up in another 150 years, there will not be a desert in North Africa, the article said. How can that be? First, the desert grows, and then it is reduced in size on its own. Well, you know, they found fossils on top of the Rocky Mountains. Saltwater fish. How did it happen? How did they get way up there on top of the mountains? Well, scientists say it was because at one time all of North America was ice. The Great Ice Age covered all of the United States. But it receded. And that was before all of the pollution came, all of the industry, before the white man even came to the Americas. The ice melted. How did it get here in the first place? The Great Ice Age. And how did it end without man-made global warming? I was thinking about it. They say that the little country of Greenland, which, by the way, is misnamed. It should be Iceland, and Iceland should be Greenland. Iceland actually is warmer than Greenland. I know that because I've talked to a lot of my good friends in the Air Force. When I was in the Air Force, the biggest joke in the Air Force was about being assigned to the air base named Thule Air Force Base in Greenland. And it sounded so wonderful, like a paradise on earth. I'm going to Greenland! Wonderful! But what you found out was the base is basically under the earth. They actually dug out huge caverns under the earth, and that's where most of the air base is. Why is that? Well, because on top is pure ice. Greenland is Iceland. Well, now they say with global warming, a lot of the icebergs and ice in Greenland is melting. Now, you may think the people of Greenland are very unhappy about this, but I've got news for you. They are thrilled as punch. Did you know that the fishermen are making a lot of money now? They used to be only able to fish for about 2 months out of the year. Now they say they can fish 4 to 6 months a year. There's not as much ice there. And now the fishermen say, isn't this wonderful? We can take our boats out. It's not all ice. We can fish months more. They're happier. And you know what? They say in Greenland now, it used to be so cold that they would just huddle up in their little shacks and their little homes and just, boy, during the winter it was ferocious there. One of the coldest places on earth. They say they have a lot of pleasant months now. There's sunshine. Ask them to vote on whether they like this global warming. They love it. Isn't that interesting? And I'll tell you the truth, friends. Last year here in Texas, we had a warm winter. You didn't find Mr. Tex Mars complaining. I sort of liked it. I hate cold weather. I do. That's why I live in Texas. It's warmer down here. I feel sorry now for all you folks. Maybe some of you say, well, I like it. I like the weather. I like to make snowmen. I love the... Well, you can have it. I mean, I love you anyway. If you want to have a bunch of snow and ice and shovel it off and you can't drive your cars and you're freezing and your fuel bill is tripled in the wintertime, you can have it. I'm not going to complain about it, but I don't want it. Leave it up there in Minnesota. I don't want it down here in Texas. I like these warm winters. El Nino, come see me, big boy. Bring your warm breezes to Texas. I love it. There's a lot of benefits to global warming. For one thing, guess what? Vegetation grows more. That's right. The sun comes out, the plants come out. You have more trees. I thought the environmentalists loved more trees and more green vegetation. Oh no, they want ice. They want everything iced over. Strange, isn't it? Very strange. Well, Senator Inhofe's speech, I want to congratulate him. Because he says the alarmists are absolute nuts, and everybody needs to be very skeptical of what these people are saying. Unproven theory. And then, by the way, he quotes Newsweek, April 28, 1975. The cover of Newsweek warned about the coming ice age fears. Can you believe that? The cover of Newsweek, There is a coming ice age. Now they say there's a coming warm age, global warming. And little kids are worried to death about it. Well, okay, enough of a global warming. Oh, brother. Oh. Let's see what else we've got. Hey, conservatism is a Tower of Babel, says Patrick J. Buchanan. And he quotes Fred Thompson, candidate, former senator, candidate for President of the United States on the Republican Party ticket. Thompson says, I was conservative yesterday, I'm a conservative today, and I will be a conservative tomorrow. Buchanan then is led to ask the question, what in heaven's name is a conservative? I mean, think about this guy Thompson. Thompson is liberal, according to a guy like Goldwater or Ronald Reagan or a Taft or other historical conservatives. Did you know that Fred Thompson, the same guy who says, I'm a conservative yesterday, today, and tomorrow, once worked as a lobbyist for a pro-abortion group? Pro-abortion, but I'm a conservative. And then Patrick Buchanan talks about McCain. He says, I'm a conservative. I'm your conservative candidate. I'm the true Republican. But wait, Senator McCain backs Bush's amnesty for the 20 million or so illegal aliens. Does that sound like a conservative? And then there's Giuliani. Giuliani once lived with two gay men. In other words, he's a homosexual. Some say he's bisexual, but I don't believe it at all. I think he's nothing but a homosexual. But he married a woman, Judith Nathan, who was one of his staffers, sort of a Monica Lewinsky type. He married this younger woman who worked for him in his office, a Jewish woman, just so he could say, hey, see, I'm not a queer, I'm not gay, I'm not a faggot, why, I'm married. Yeah, well, Senator Larry Craig was married too, but he tried to put the make on an undercover cop in a airport bathroom. Boy. You know, Richard Nixon, on the Nixon tapes, I was listening recently on the internet, Google up Nixon tapes, Bohemian Grove. And listen, there's an audio tape you can listen to. The Nixon tapes have been released where he says the Bohemian Grove, where the wicked Bohemian Grovesters meet, mostly Republicans there, he said it's the most faggoty place he's ever seen. He said, you know those people from San Francisco? I don't even want to shake their hands. No telling where their hands have been. That was Richard Nixon. Well, God bless President Richard Nixon. No wonder they wanted to get rid of the guy. He talked about the faggoty guys that he met at... He was there, by the way. He wanted the power. So he visited the Bohemian Grove, but he didn't like the guys there. Didn't even want to shake hands with those San Francisco types. Well, Nixon, you're right. So what is a conservative today? The neocons have taken over the White House, and they're out there bugging us, trying to start World War III in Iran. Is that a conservative to start a world war? Of course not. And do you attack countries like Iraq who haven't done one thing to you? Because, well, they got weapons of mass destruction. Oh, they don't have them? Well, sorry. Well, I'm glad we went there anyway. I'm glad 4,000 American troops are dead. Why, it was worth it getting rid of Saddam Hussein. Let me say something right here, friends. You can quote Tex Mars on this. To get Saddam Hussein out of office was not worth 4,000. Lives of young American men and women. Let me repeat it again. To get Saddam Hussein out of office, to depose him, was not worth the lives of 4,000 young Americans. In fact, it's not even worth the little pinky finger of one American soldier. Did you get that? Saddam Hussein is not worth the little pinky finger of one American. And by the way, Saddam Hussein allowed Christian churches to spring up throughout the country of Iraq. They've all closed up now. Now that America's in charge over there, they're all closed up because we've got the Muslims to hating us. But back in the Saddam Hussein days, if anyone harmed one Christian, or if any terrorist or anyone bothered a Christian church, boy, hell to pay. There was freedom of religion in Saddam Hussein's Baghdad. Now, you believe that or not, research it for yourself. Christian churches flourished in Saddam's Baghdad, Iraq. It's just the truth. It is. But wait, isn't it good to bring democracy to Iraq? Oh, yeah, we've got democracy there. Mm-hmm. We don't have democracy now. It's never been in Iraq. And probably in your lifetime, in my lifetime, it never will be there. These people claim to be conservatives. Huckabee, Giuliani, Fred Thompson, McCain. But Buchanan said, that's just a Tower of Babel. It's a bunch of confusion. They're not conservatives. And you know what? He's right. He's absolutely correct. Well, let's see what else we got on our agenda here. Volume 136. Nicolas Sarkozy. He was a crypto Jew, but wait, he's been outed. That's right. The French newspapers have come out with new stories about Nicolas Sarkozy. It was first published in Cairo by the number one newspaper there, Al Haram. Guess what they found out about Mr. Nicolas Sarkozy? He's a Jewish Mossad spy agent. We see, it first was found out that he's a crypto Jew, and he admitted it. Yeah, I am Jewish. He was born in Hungary. He came from Hungary. He wasn't even a Frenchman. Well, I was a Frenchman, but I was just born in Hungary. Turns out he's a Hungarian Jew, and he's president of France. Now, the first thing that he did as president was to declare that he lacked Bush's Iraq plan. Unlike the previous president, Jacques Chirac, the Jewish president, the Hungarian Jew, Mr. Nicolas Sarkozy, says, I like what Bush is doing in Iraq. And he threatened Mr. Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, said, we must not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Well, Mr. Sarkozy, you're an idiot because you know that the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States has put out a report last year in which they said that Iran is not seeking a nuclear bomb. And if they did, it would be at least 10 years before they were ever able to develop one. And Mr. Mohammed El Arabi, the head of the United Nations Nuclear Disarmament Agency, says that Iran has no nuclear weapons and is not developing them. So the United Nations says, no, there are no plans. The CIA says, no, there are no plans. And Dick Cheney says, we got to stop it. It could be a matter of months. Iran could have weapons of mass destruction. Well, now, Colin Powell is no longer Secretary of State. Who's going to go to the United Nations now and say, look, we found them. Mobile laboratories running around with nuclear bombs everywhere. I don't know. They'll probably do it very soon. Can you believe that a man could become president of one of the most powerful nations on earth, France, and it be hidden, the fact that he's Jew? And now it's come out that he was part of Israeli intelligence. Wow. It turns out that he was one of thousands of Jewish citizens of countries around the world who secretly cooperate with the Mossad. A letter dispatched to French police officials late last winter before the presidential election in France revealed that Sarkozy had been recruited and had worked as an Israeli spy. Now, the Parisian newspaper Le Figaro, it's one of the top two newspapers in France. They also have reported, and their reporting of this fact goes back as far as 1983. They reported that Sarkozy was an Israeli intelligence agent. We have a Jewish intelligence agent, and he has his fingers on the nuclear bombs. They have nuclear submarines. They have strategic bombers. They could blow up half the world with the French nuclear weapons. But that's not all. Israel has over 200 nuclear bombs of its own. It was Israel that stole the nuclear bomb plans and blueprint from the United States of America. How did they do it? Well, it was Mr. Robert J. Oppenheimer, who was the chief scientist on the Manhattan Project, that developed the nuclear bombs that eventually were used against Japan. Mr. Oppenheimer, later, his security clearance was withdrawn when it was found out he was a communist agent. Mr. Oppenheimer, of course, was Jewish from New York City. That's why they called it the Manhattan Project. The Jews of New York were given the secrets to the atomic bomb. First, they gave them to Stalin, to Russia, because these people are Stalinist communists. And then they gave them to Israel. That's how Israel got the nuclear bomb. They weren't smart enough to figure it out themselves. They stole it from America. Truman kept his mouth shut. Eisenhower didn't like it, but he shut up too. But JFK would not allow it. Read the book, Final Judgment. We offer it here in the ministry. The true story of how JFK demanded that Israel give up its nuclear weapons. Why do you think JFK died? The Israeli Mossad. How many secret Israeli intelligence agents do we have in the United States? I know of one. You spell his last name C-H-E-N-E-Y. And by the way, Mr. Cheney is also a 33rd degree Mason. Well, the Vatican. The Vatican has come out with several things. One of them of interest is the Catholic bishop in Amsterdam, a Roman Catholic bishop, Tiny Muskins. What a name, Tiny Muskins. Allah is a beautiful word for God, he says. So from now on, we should all use the name of God as Allah. It'll help the Muslims and Christians come together. This was in the Netherlands best-selling newspaper, The Telegraph, just recently. Bishop says from now on he's going to pray to the God under the name of Allah. Oh boy. Meanwhile, the Vatican has announced that they found a secret document that may exonerate Jacques de Molay, the former head of the Knights Templar. Remember, de Molay was accused of worshiping the horned goat god? The Vatican wants to give him a clean bill of health. This is Tex Mars. We've been exposing some secrets, and my prayer, my wish, is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.